Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio are Zach and India Werner. And Zach and India, we were talking about God leading you guys to serve Him in another country. And that's exciting. It's expensive. So as a result of that, you're kind of having to say, okay, Lord, how is this going to happen? And you've already got a baby, you're expecting another one, and last time I checked, those are expensive things to have, right?
Yes, unfortunately.
And so, you know, it's a faith ministry, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. Every day is a little test of our faith, for sure.
And God will strengthen your faith as you wait on Him and learn more about Him. And the neat thing is the fact that you guys can be a faith strengthener for other folks. We were talking earlier about there in India having a ministry to some Bible Institute students. And Zach, you come from a family of beekeepers. I guess that would be normal for folks to think about. You can probably keep bees in India just like you can in Wisconsin, you know. I never would have thought of it, but that's really a neat thing. Now, tell us how the Lord can use that.
Well, you know, right when the Lord started challenging me with missions, first question I had is, well, why am I a beekeeper?
Okay.
If you want me to do missions, what does beekeeping have to do with that? And so I started just asking God to show me how He could use beekeeping on the mission field.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, as we were thinking about India and praying about going there, you know, the Lord really began to open my eyes to the need and the way that we could use beekeeping while we're there. And one of the ways that we'd like to apply that and incorporate it into what we're doing there, working with the nationals, is we'd like to be able to start training the nationals that are at the Bible Institute how to keep bees.
Hmm.
India, as many of you know, is a tropical climate, and there's a lot of flowers, a lot of plants that the bees can work.
Okay.
And there's also a lot of bees. Here in America, we have what we call a European honeybee. There in India, they have several varieties of bees,
wow,
including European honeybees. But the main honeybee that we're going to be working with is a local Indian bee.
Hmm.
And we were actually there for about 4 months this spring, and we were able to purchase a few of those beehives.
Okay.
And started training some of the nationals there. And the way that we're going to be using this is giving them a skill that they can use. As many of you know, India is still a third world country, and the average wage there is still just over $1 a day.
Mm.
You can imagine how difficult it is for these pastors of small churches. How can a church where the average wage is only $1 a day pay to support the pastor,
sure,
and his family?
Sure.
And so many of these pastors have to get a part-time job or find some other source of income, at least while their church is being established. And so the beekeeping would give them a tool that they could use, something to generate a little extra income, something that they would, Lord willing, be able to feed their families with.
That would really be neat. They could feed their families. That would be their job. And then, and I have no clue how much time it would take, but what would you tell a Bible Institute student that took a bee business back to their village? How much time would you say per week they would need to spend on that?
Well, it would depend upon the season. Some season you're going to spend a little bit more time.
Okay.
But generally per week, some weeks you wouldn't have to do anything.
The bees are working, right?
Exactly. Okay. And that's the nice thing. For instance, the way that we operate our hives here in America is we try to get around to them every other week.
Okay.
And we'll check them. And some weeks we just basically peek at them, make sure everything is still okay, and then close them back up.
Okay.
Other weeks, you might have to add an extra box to give them a little bit more space to continue collecting honey.
Sure.
But really, there's not a lot of time involved,
okay,
and that would be the advantage to doing the beekeeping.
Oh, yeah.
It would also give them opportunity as they collect the honey and they're able to produce extra, they can sell that.
Sure.
Again, a tool that they can reach out into their community, you know, giving them an opportunity to minister to other people,
mm-hmm,
in their community. You know, there's lots of illustrations throughout the Bible of honey and its sweetness and its goodness. And, you know, just a great way to lead right into the gospel when you're giving someone something so sweet as honey.
Having an object lesson right there in your hand.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. You know, we talked about tent making, and it kind of goes back to the Apostle Paul as he went from city to city and tried to be used the Lord to start a church. That's basically what he did. He made tents.
Exactly.
And so consequently, the expression tent making, as you hear that, it's something that to enable folks to understand that you may be going to a country that you're not able to necessarily be totally provided for. But if you can provide partially for yourself, then that's called tent making. And so that's really a neat way of doing that. Now, India, your parents have been there 20 years. Do they do any kind of tent making or?
No, at this point, they stay so busy with the ministry work there that they're not able to do anything else.
Because there are so many ministries there that they are responsible for.
Right.
And so that's really neat. Now, are your parents from India in the first place?
My dad is from India, and so where we're going to is right where he was born and raised.
Okay.
But my mom is from Pennsylvania.
Okay. And they met where?
They actually met in the Pittsburgh airport. While they're both traveling. They had a layover and started talking in the airport.
Oh, come on. In the airport?
Yes.
Well, isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
I mean, to see the finger of God.
Yes.
Just kind of working together in a public airport. Wow, that's quite a story.
It is really neat just how the Lord brought them together and, you know, something that they probably would have never have met.
Oh, yeah.
If they wouldn't have been traveling like that.
Right. Pennsylvania. Wow. How cool is that? Well, as you consider the opportunities that the Lord is giving you, I think you mentioned, Zach, that eventually you'd like to maybe think about starting another Bible Institute. What would that take? Would you have to have more education or just money, or what would it take?
Well, it would right now take a combination of money and manpower.
Okay.
The Bible Institute that we have right there is running at about max capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every class is full. We're constantly getting requests from other pastors from around the country that are seeking to come. We just don't have the facility to do it. We would like to start another institute, sort of begin with a satellite institute that would just run part-time. But right now, we physically don't have the ability to. There's so much taking up with the institute, and then also many of these pastors, we have plugged them into local churches in the area. They're trained, and then we give them a group of people to begin working with. And so between visiting those churches and helping to encourage those believers and training the new pastors that are coming to the Institute, we are running out of space and time. And so we're really praying that God would provide another couple that would be able to work alongside the ministry to allow us the ability to reach out to this area. One of the unique aspects about the Bible Institute that the Lord has really blessed over the years is India's dad has flown in pastors from America to teach, allowing us the freedom during the classes that we don't have to be at every single class. And we don't have to have all of the education. You know, we can bring these pastors who are bringing their experience with them and they're teaching the classes. There's several men that work at the Institute that are very talented translators. And so all of the classes are taught in English and in Kannada, which is the local language there. And English is becoming more and more common throughout the country as trade increases, as technology increases, more of the people are learning English, which allows us to teach more people, giving us opportunities, again, you know, to be able to reach into some areas that we otherwise wouldn't be able to.
Now, India, you speak, is it Kannada? Is that the way you say it?
Yes, that's
right. Are you going to be Zach's language teacher?
Right now, that's kind of what we're doing. We try to work on it, and we try to teach our baby. She's one, and so we try to teach her some Kannada words, and that sort of helps us.
Okay. So are you trying to learn how to speak it and write it, Zach?
I am working on both. India said for her, once she learned how to write it, the speaking really clicked. You know, there's an aspect of the speaking that once you can actually read it, helps you to comprehend a little bit better. So right now, I'm trying to learn the main words, and then
food.
Coca-Cola. All the important stuff.
Okay. Are there many theology books and Bible study books written in Kannada?
There are a few concordances, things like that, but it is a great need because a lot of the ones that they have are not really doctrinally sound.
No, I see.
Because they weren't really translated properly and things like that.
Yeah.
One of the things people ask us is, aren't there Indian Bible institutes? Aren't there Indian Bible colleges there already? And the answer is yes, there are. But it's very common for men who have gone through 4 years at a Bible college there in India to come to our institute and the first week of class get saved.
Wow.
They, in all of their 4 years, have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel.
Wow.
And although they may be learning certain theological doctrines, mm-hmm. they've never learned the things that are most important, you know, the most basic fundamentals of the faith. And so many of them end up coming again for another 4 years to go through our institute,
okay.
and they're learning all new stuff. And they're learning really how to tend their flock.
Mm.
They are excited every week to be able to go back to their churches and tell their people all that they've learned just about how to have a relationship with Christ that they hadn't learned otherwise.
In your Bible Institute, is there any kind of an internship that you ask them to do before they actually become a pastor?
There are several steps that we take just to protect from, you know, someone just coming to try to follow the money, as some people would say.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the people there would see a pastor or someone who's just there for the money, and so we do have to be careful. We offer all of our classes at the Institute for free for those, but they do go through a sort of a screening process before they come. We want to make sure that they have some biblical background. Again, you know, some of them do come and they get saved, but we sort of use the first couple of modules to get a feel for where they're at spiritually before we would actually send them out. We don't ordain any of them as pastors until they're already in a church and they've been serving faithfully for a couple of years.
Okay.
The Institute is really just giving them the training they need, and it's not until they have proved themselves in their church that they're actually ordained.
And would there ever be a possibility of, in a satellite Bible Institute, actually have the classes all be live by a satellite feed from your original Bible Institute?
There is a potential. They do have wireless capability.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem that they have in India is their power grid.
Okay.
It's not uncommon in one day for the power to go off several times and for extended periods of time. And it depends on the season. During the hotter time of the year, when people are running their fans more, the power can go off for up to 3 or 4 hours in the day.
So if all of your classes are coming over electronic feed, everybody takes
issue.
A siesta.
Right. So we're still working on that.
Yeah.
It's something that we'd like to do in the future.
There's got to be a way.
Yes.
There's always got to be a way. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for just sharing with us. And our hearts are challenged to see what you're doing and just to see the new generation of missionaries. I'm 68 years old and probably old enough to be at least your parents, maybe, probably not your grandparents, but it's just really thrilling to see what God is doing in your hearts through your lives, and our prayers are certainly with you. And folks, as you're listening to us this morning, if your church sponsors missionaries, get behind them, write them letters, emails, let them know you love, you care for them, you're praying for them. Don't let them feel like they're alone. Be there with them, holding the ropes, as it were, to enable them to do the job that God has called them to do. God bless you.